Here we are, Sunday night, my favorite time of the week. Let's begin our call tonight, as we always do, with turning our attention within to the love and the willingness that we all share. And feeling each other. We are all over the world on this call right now. And feeling our connectedness, our shared intention, and our shared desire to remember our truth, to remember the truth. And where two or more are joined, there spirit is. The ego doesn't stand a chance. Yay! Here we are. And taking a nice deep breath in and out. And this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight, gladly and willingly, because we know and we're learning that the Holy Spirit knows what makes us happy and is guiding us to remember our home. And taking another nice, mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. I feel you all so strongly. My heart is just bursting. Thank you for showing up. Before we dive into our reading tonight, I have two announcements. One is that I created a new Facebook group, which I actually created for my new podcast, which is the second announcement, and I did it because I wanted a place where people can ask questions about the podcast if they arise, but then I realized so many of us here are on Facebook. We, rather than my public page, there's the Miracle Share group, but since I was doing this for the podcast, anyway, if you want to join, it is you can just go to fromanxietytolove.com/group, and it will route you to our new Facebook group. You'll see it says From Anxiety to Love with Corinne Zupko, and there's a picture of like the podcast thingy on the banner. So that's fromanxietytolove.com/group. And the second announcement, which I already mentioned, is that my podcast is launched, and I had some really fantastic interviews for the first 5 episodes and have a lot more lined up, and I'm super excited about it, and I've been getting some really nice feedback from folks too. So you can check that out. You can get there by just going to fromanxietytolove.com, and you'll see the episodes. And you'll within the show notes page, you'll see a link. I know how it takes time to leave a review on iTunes. The reviews and ratings are how, and subscriptions are how it gets more discoverable, because it's my understanding is that just like Amazon or Google, you know, it's like a search engine, and you're more likely to see the show earlier in the feed if it has more subscriptions and ratings and reviews. So in exchange for my gratitude and the time that it takes you to write a rating and review, I did put together some gifts. Two of them are actually from our calls. One is a meditation, and one is the time when I spoke about my experience at the Happy Dream Retreat with angels and with flying fearlessly. But the third is a new thing that none of you would have seen before, and it's a 3-page document on fear-busting mantras, which were all different statements of declaring our willingness to see differently. And I wrote them. They're mantras for anxiety, for worrying about another person, and for fears of sickness. So that's my gratitude offering in exchange for a review. So I hope you'll check that out and let me know what you think. So that's that. We are going to pick up where we left off last week. If you have a Sparkle Edition, we're on page 484. We're going to begin with the paragraph right in the middle of the page, does one ask judgment of what is totally bereft of judgment? So Sparkle, page 484. Original Edition by Course in Miracles Society is chapter 20, part 4, paragraph 24. In the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, it is, in my book it's page 430, but it is chapter 20, part 3, paragraph number 8. Does one ask of judgment what is totally bereft of judgment? And then in the CE, the Circle of Atonement edition, it's actually mid-paragraph because I mentioned last time sometimes the paragraph breaks are different. So if you have the CE, it's page 642. And then it is actually the very second line on the page. It's sentence number 5, does one ask judgment of what is totally bereft of judgment? Everybody good?
Mm-hmm.
Great. All right, here we go. So just quick recap. We've been reading in the section, Sin as an Adjustment. In the CE, it's called The Insanity of Adjustment, and we've been reading about this idea that we asked a tiny puff of madness, which is what how the ego is about to be referred to in this upcoming paragraph. We asked that puff of madness, what am I, and believed it and adjusted ourselves to it, whereas in truth, no adjustments need be made because there's nothing to adjust to. Truth just is. So here we go. Does one ask judgment of what is totally bereft of judgment? And if you have, would you believe the answer and adjust to it as if it were the truth? The world you look on is the answer that it gave you. And you have given it power to adjust the world to make its answer true. You asked this puff of madness for the meaning of your unholy relationship and adjusted it according to its insane answer. How happy did it make you? Did you meet with joy to bless the Son of God and give him thanks for all the happiness which he held out to you? Did you recognize each other as the eternal gift of God to you? Did you see the holiness that shone in both of you to bless the other? That is the purpose of your holy relationship. Ask not the means of its attainment of the one thing that still would have it be unholy. Give it no power to adjust the means and end. So again, here we see, as I just mentioned, this puff of madness, we ask the ego. I love that description. It's like, that's all it is. It's a puff. It's fog. This puff of madness, we asked it what it was, what the meaning of our relationships are, and we believed it, adjusted to it. And this list of questions, how happy did it make you? Did you meet it with joy to bless the Son of God? Did you recognize each other as the eternal gift of God to you? Did you see the holiness that shone in both of you to bless the other? From the ego's perspective in this world, the answer is no, 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 and no. This is now what the Course is teaching us how to see again, how to see the holiness in our brother, how to undo the ego together, because as it says, heaven is entered two by two. I'm pausing. Anything coming up for anyone so far?
Well, the difficulty of doing all of that while I'm watching the news, I find I really fall flat on my face. For the most part, though, otherwise, not too bad at all of that. But.
Yeah, you know, that. I mean...
That's been a challenge.
Yeah, and what is it but the job of the news to seek out conflict and drama and where the pain is and to highlight that. I mean, the purpose of the news is not to focus on all the beautiful, wonderful, good things that are happening. So it's a huge, huge trigger. And so that's where we need to decide for ourselves when we're going to watch it, when we're not. And there might be times when, you know, the best thing for us is to take a little news detox, as I know we do from time to time.
Absolutely.
But yes, Paula, I agree with you.
And
Igor.
This is Igor, yeah. Susanna, was it you, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, beautiful remark, yeah, because these doubts are always creeping up to our minds, like, how can it not be real, right? This world, the Course says, this world is a dream, is nothing, is nightmare. And how this world can be unreal, how those jerks can be sinlessness, yes, innocent, right? All of those terrorists, all of those politicians, all of those others, yeah, all of those drivers in the traffic. In this paragraph, sentence five is the $1 million question. Because the Course doesn't want us to ask this question. How it's unreal? Prove to me that this is unreal. Because, you know, many people approach the Course in this way. Like, show me, let me take this baseball bat and try it on your face to check out if your face is unreal, you know. The Course doesn't want us to ask this question. The Course wants us to ask another question. Are you happy? Are you satisfied with this world? See, how happy did it make you? Did you meet your brother with joy to bless the Son of God and give him thanks for all the happiness that he held out to you? See, so are you satisfied with this world, with your emotions, your, you know, state in this world? Do you want to keep it going like this? You know, because this is the $1 million question that allows us to question the reality of the whole thing, of the whole circus. Because if we are unhappy, then we can agree on the fact that our view of this whole world, our framework of thinking, our thought system may be not so valuable for us, maybe not so beneficial for us, because we are basically suffering, yeah? And in chapter 8, there is a quote that you must first admit that you are miserable and unhappy because you think that suffering is happiness, right? Thank you.
Thank you, Igor. I really like the focus of what you said of focusing on these questions versus maybe in the beginning asking that question about, you know, is this real? And I'll add to that, because as you were speaking, an example came to mind for me and Paula and Carol and Pat when we used to attend an in-person group with my mom and stepdad. There was a gentleman in the group, his name was Bill, who used to say, he'd give us these really great examples of, you know, sometimes he, and we all would do this, right? Maybe get pissed at the Course. Like, and he, however, would say, it's all lies. And he'd like toss his book across the room only to pick it up again and get mad again and throw it again. And one of the things that he used to say, which stands out to me, he'd say, show me that, you know, if this world isn't real, show me. And that's where, you know, as we go in this journey, we have those experiences that teach us that there's a lot more to who we are than meets the eye. So I love what you said. Thank you so much. I just wanted to add that because it was coming up for me. Beautiful. Let's read another paragraph. Prisoners bound with heavy chains for years, starved and emaciated, weak and exhausted, with eyes so long cast down in darkness, they remember not the light. Do not leap up in joy the instant they are made free. It takes a while for them to understand what freedom is. You groped but feebly in the dust and found each other's hand, uncertain whether to let it go or to take hold on life so long forgotten. Strengthen your hold and raise your eyes unto your strong companion. in whom the meaning of your freedom lies. He seemed to be crucified beside you, and yet his holiness remained untouched and perfect. And with him beside you, you shall this day enter with him to paradise and know the peace of God. This is a kind of a big deal sort of paragraph for me. A couple of stories come to mind. One, I've heard, I don't remember where this is from, and if anybody else has heard this or knows where it's from, please chime in. But I had heard the story that back when ships would first arrive here, Native Americans couldn't see them because they had no concept of what a ship was. So it was literally they couldn't see it. My mom was recently telling me a story about, I don't remember where this is from either, if this was from the Bible or somewhere else, but a young girl who had been healed, I don't think it was from the Bible, she had been unable to walk, was very sickly, experienced a miraculous healing, and her father, it took him 3 days to finally see her, to finally like be able to comprehend that, in fact, she had this healing. And here this paragraph is saying that essentially we are these prisoners in that we've been so accustomed to listening to the ego, so accustomed to believing that we are these bodies, believing what the body's eyes show us, that freedom is right here, and yet we don't leap with joy because we don't see it, because we're not aware of it, because instead we are listening to this tiny puff of madness. We have to almost be taught again to remember again what freedom is. And this, I love how it says, we found each other's hand, uncertain whether to let it go or to take hold on life so long forgotten. Here, this is it's referencing our holy relationship. Strengthen your hold. Raise your eyes unto your strong companion in whom the meaning of your freedom lies. So just as we have thought that we've been crucified beside each other, meaning death is real. You know, it seems like everything here dies. That all seems very, very real. And yet that does not change the truth. Nothing in the picture changes the fact of our complete whole, well state of reality that is completely unaffected by this dream. And so that's what we are being, that's what we're remembering how to wake up to. So I really like this paragraph. Thought so far.
Well, I guess you all recognize that this is this paragraph is about Plato's story called Cave, right? It's kind of so ancient story, but it's still on point, right? Where there were several men bound with chains to the wall in a cave, and all they could see was shadows from the fire outside the cave, and they didn't know anything other than that. And when one of them got free from chains, and he started to saying to them, "Oh, can you see this whole world? Let's go out. It's a whole different world." But they basically, weren't so excited. They said, "Go away, man. We are okay here." So this is the start of this paragraph. Are not so excited, right? Do not leap up in joy the instant they are made free. That's how we roll. Thank you.
Thank you, Igor. I never made that connection with Plato's cave, and that's great. That's very, very helpful. Other thoughts? Anything else coming up for anyone so far?
Maybe everyone has muted themselves, so.
Yes, remember you have to unmute yourself if you want to say something.
Hey, Corinne, this is Matt. I'll just share it.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. It's amazing how many conditions I put on life. So how happy did it make you? Not very. Did you meet with joy to bless the Son of God and give him? No. Did you recognize it? No. And, you know, it's like amazing, like, and it so doesn't work. And yet here I'm like given this incredible release and I'm experiencing it. And then like there's this hypervigilance that says, yeah, but wait, why did this other thing just has to come into place. Oh, no, I just have to feel good this way. And then this person just has to act a certain way. So I don't know. I'm just inviting in the Holy Spirit to really correct my pretty intense conditions that I put on things. I love the idea of just jumping up and down what does it say here? They do not leap up in joy. I really want to leap up in joy. In fact, I'm going to stand up right now. And if I had something to bounce on, I would. you know, like, it's just, I don't know. It's really helpful for me to see that it's here now and it's not condition dependent and give it no power to adjust the means to the end. And that all these holy relationships, you know, just really too, as I was reading, I was like, yeah, but there's this one relationship, you know, but man, that's just in my mind. You know, the holy relationship is in my mind, not what this other person does. So anyway, I just wanted to thank you for this. And I just love that it said, know the peace of God. And my lesson today is the peace of God is shining in me now. So it just felt like a really nice connection. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. I love, first of all, the fact that you and any of us, when we do this, can see the conditions that we put, you know, the fact that you can even notice that is such a blessing because not all of us have that awareness. And so how beautiful it is then to be able to see that and say, oh, wow, you know, look at all these conditions and hey, I'm willing to see them differently. And when you said the phrase not condition dependent, that really stood out to me because so much of my journey, particularly my anxiety journey and particularly, you know, my biggest hook, like I've shared before, has been fears of sickness and when it seems like something's wrong. And I got to a point in, like, you know, my last, whenever it was, the last episode that I had with that, of wanting that peace despite the external conditions. Not like I wanted peace that was not condition dependent. So whatever was going to show up in form, whatever that was going to look like, I wanted to know, regardless of that, the truth, who I am. The Course uses the phrase, let me see if I can just find it really, really quick. It's in spite of fear, in spite of fear. Let me see if I can find it real fast. Here it is. It's under the section called The Happy Dream. When you feel the holiness of your relationship is threatened by anything, stop instantly and offer the Holy Spirit your willingness, in spite of fear, to let him exchange this instant for the holy one that you would rather have. So that sentence was so big for me because even if I'm freaking out, even if I'm having a lot of fear, this is still prompting us to stop and offer the Holy Spirit our willingness in exchange for the holy one that we would rather have instead of this, you know, fear-filled one. So just thank you for saying that because the not condition-dependent piece is it. That's everything.
Thank you.
Corinne?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on what Matt was talking about a little bit there also. You know, like in chapter 21, what we're coming up to is the first sentence, projection makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it. Nothing more than that. Nothing more than that, than what we've given it. And I go to a lot of concerts. Those who know me well know that I'm really into music, and I like to go and just wear a tank top, take my shoes off, and dance around like a white Indian. And when I went there last night, this is just practical moodiness. I look at my seats after they are printed, and I go, oh, man, 8 and 9, that's going to be all the way over to the side, row 2, but behind the speakers. And then I said to myself, nope, Holy Spirit's my man. He's right next to me. Everything's going to be good no matter what. I could be in the bathroom stalls, and somehow it's going to work out. And I go there. I'm all the way at the end behind the speakers. And it was a guy that I really wanted to hear a lot, Knocko. I don't know if anybody's heard him. But he sings a lot of songs. He isn't a Hawaiian guy, but he sings a lot of stuff that you'd think came from like an Indian, but about peace and happiness and joy and stuff. But anyway, a little bit into the concert, and I like to be around dancers. All the dancers were in row 1 in the center. And one of the security people came up and recognized me from last year and said, I remember you, and blah, blah, blah. She said, you and your wife, you guys just move all the way to the end of row 2 here to the center. And she goes, if somebody comes and says, those are my seat, just move over. I'll be watching you so you won't get in trouble or anything. So just feel free to do that. Yeah. And they brought out a platform, and it was the corner of it was right to where I got moved to. So Knocko comes out. Not only am I dancing with dancers, I'm dancing with Knocko, the lead singer.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just overwhelmed going, you know, because we're so easily taught, I don't deserve this. I'm in the freaking, I could almost touch toes and dance with the guy, you know, because the Holy Spirit wants me to dance. He wants me to be this happy to say this is not even the beginning of anything, and you're getting excited about this? Wow. So I go to a concert again last night, try to keep this one short. Long story too long to explain. I had 2 seats. I kept going back and forth, literally. I'm not making this up to try to puff things up greater than the kingdom really is, right? But in each seat, the people were going, no, you must stay here. Every time you come here, everybody around starts dancing. When you leave, it's like people are afraid to dance. But when you come back, you just rip it loose and everybody starts going again. I say, yeah, I know. Why don't you guys all come to this other section where I'm at, too? And we'll just all be there together, huh? But it just seems like the more we give in to this understanding of trusting, everything is perfect. Contentness. I'm content. I'm content before I get to the situation. And when I get to the situation, when the witnesses start showing up to try to tell me why I shouldn't be content, try to remind myself I'm content, because the witness of contentment will more than show up, you know? It's just so beautiful watching it unfold. I don't know if I'm even putting it into words to say it, but it's just, I'm becoming more and more speechless every day, is what I can say.
Awesome.
I love you guys.
Oh, Greg, that was awesome. I hope all of us can be with you at a concert sometimes, because I will dance with you and your wife. That sounds like so much fun. And you conveyed that. I heard some, oh, wows on the line. You conveyed that. I felt like I was right there with you. That and what you said about being content before you get to the situation, and then the witnesses for contentment will show up. The witnesses, you know, for the other voice can show up, but you can make that choice still for that contentment. That was beautiful. Did anybody want to respond to that?
Yeah, I want to respond to it, because sometimes my daughter and I go to the beach, and sometimes it's lovely and, no, you know, there's not a lot of people around us, and we just want to be quiet and relax, you know. But other times, there are people with radios going, they're smoking, they're, you know, all kinds of annoyances. And what he just said is so perfect, because when you prepare yourself, you know, when you align with the Holy Spirit and expect that kind of contentment, and that peace, you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I love how you said that, Paula. Expect.
That was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the reminder.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be annoying a little bit, if you guys don't mind.
You can be annoying, Igor. Go ahead.
Because, of course, beautiful quote, Franny, you mentioned. Projection makes perception. And, again, lesson, workbook lesson number 31, that we are never the victims, yes? And lesson number 152, that the power of decision is my own, that we project everything. And, of course, it's very nice to share such positive, uplifting stories when our desires and wishes materialize, basically get manifested when it's pleasant for us. You know? But we don't want to think about it that when we get into unpleasant situations. For example, that all of the troubles, all the issues we had in our childhood are also weren't an accident. And even this such situations on a beach when people, some unpleasant people come close to you and you feel they're smoking cigarettes and noisy radios is also being projected by us. See,
oh, yeah.
This is the thing. This is the whole thing. We have to look at everything as a mirror. It's just a mirror of our own mind. See, so when I see it all the time when I do these regression sessions to people, and as just when we get to some really interesting point, some phone calls, some car alarm outside the window, dog barks, you know, just all kinds of, you know, disturbances. And it's just our own resistance shows up, you see. And so when we see some annoying people and everything that is unpleasant, just as when we get something pleasant, we have to realize that it's all coming from us. But the only difference we have when, in case of Franny, when it's pleasant, you just fun and dance and laugh and celebrate. But when it's unpleasant, we just apply genuine forgiveness to it. This is the difference. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you, Igor, and I think that we have tons of examples of those unpleasant experiences that we project, but we choose not to rehash those on this call because we're working this. Is that Sue?
Yeah. I have a question. Isn't there something in the Course, I was just reading it the other day about, you know, that not everything Jesus says, you know, you will be affected by others who are not pure of heart as yet. So, I mean, we are, you know, this one great big dream that we're all in. I mean,
is that a quote from the CE?
Are you projecting everybody on the beach, or are they?
Okay. This is an interesting thing. Is that quote from the Circle of Atonement edition?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe that is not in the other editions. I'm just doing a quick search for pure of heart on the FIP because I remember seeing that. I think that's a quote from the from Helen's notes, and it's not in the other things. That's where I'm reminded of Robert Perry and his sharing with Emily in one of their interviews, where I think it was the most recent one, where he is, and this is a funny video because he started sharing and Emily was like, I don't get that, like I just don't understand this, and that, you know, that there's a shared component. We're all projecting on each other. Like, I'm a little fuzzy here still because of this new material and integrating, you know, some of these things from Helen's notes that weren't in the other editions. So from what Robert said, yes, we're projecting onto others. Yes, we're seeing either witnesses for the ego, and you know, that other agreed. So to give another example to kind of what Igor was talking about the unpleasant experiences, I've shared with you all many times that example of, I won't repeat the whole story, but just that nurse that said, are you going to pass out on me, honey? And I almost passed out because she was drawing blood. And the temptation was to say she was a crappy nurse, and yet what I did instead because of the course was to say, okay, I called forth a witness for fear, and she agreed, you know? So it was coming from me, but then there's this seeming other individual, also part of my one self, who is somehow agreeing to be a part of that, that little experience too. So there is, it is all, you know, coming from our sleeping split mind, but there's some kind of collective thing happening as well. And that's where this new material in the Circle of Atonement edition, I feel like I'm still integrating that. I'm still learning. However, I find, you know, the Course is asking us to take 100% responsibility, just like that Ho'oponopono prayer that we talked about. We haven't talked about it in a while. But I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. You know, that practice of taking 100% responsibility for everything, if it's crappy and showing up in my experience, it's somehow coming from me. I don't understand how, but rather than it's coming from me and blaming myself, no, because blame, guilt, again, that's just reinforcing the ego. It's coming somehow from my sleeping, split mind. I don't know how, but I'm willing to take responsibility for it, and I'm willing to see it differently. So there is this collective sort of peace to the situation is not to then dismiss the fact that the Course is asking us to take extreme responsibility. We did this. So that quote that you referenced, Sue, to me just speaks to the fact that, I mean, think about our everyday lives, how we still kind of get yanked around by others. You know, we're letting that happen. It's still us that is making the choice to buy into, you know, whatever it is that's coming up. We have the power to choose. We have that ability to choose. And whether or not we agree to let the other, oh, I just heard Lucy, to let the other affect us, that's where this whole practice comes in. So I don't know if that's
helpful.
Well,
it all comes back to, you know, we're all responsible for undoing the errors in our own mind. That's your part of
right.
The atonement.
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
Or we are responsible for turning it over to the Holy Spirit to undo it, because we really can't undo
yes.
much of
Thank
anything.
Thank you for clarifying that, Paula. Yep,
yeah,
we can't do that atonement ourselves. It's done for
yeah.
us.
Tell you one thing that's become somewhat effortless in those situations where, you know, we go to the beach and have this happen. We just simply get up and move someplace else and go on with the day. And, you know, that's kind of the best you can do in that situation when, you know, it's just a realization that, no, I'm doing this. I've attracted this, and I can just get up and walk away from it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No guilt.
Again.
No nonsense.
No guilt.
You know?
Happy learner cannot
Nobody's
feel guilty,
guilty
about
of learning. Anything.
Beautiful. I'm inclined to read another paragraph. Is there anybody else, though, who hasn't shared yet who wants to just add something?
Hi, Corinne.
Can I ask
Franny.
A question?
Hey, Corinne. Oh, sorry.
I heard
a whole bunch of us.
Franny, then I heard Deidre, then did I also hear, was that Susan?
Yep.
Okay. Franny, Deidre, then Susan.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. What I really react to in that paragraph is the first sentence. Prisoners bound with heavy chains
you know, as I read the course and do the lessons, sometimes you bump into these really dark images of how we're seen and what our, what we look like, let's say, to Jesus. You know, there's another passage somewhere. It's like we are starving, thirsty creatures come to die. And, like, the image is so abject, it's so despairing, it's so hellish that I resist it. And I go, oh, he's talking about some poor chump. It's not about me. Like, I'm actually okay. My life's not that bad. But I know that I'm resisting in some way that my life isn't all that good, and that this prisoner in chains, that is me. I'm supposed to, well, I'm to learn that, let go, like take that image in and be healed of it, something like that. So that's what I'm just responding to.
That's beautiful, Franny. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, I love how you are highlighting this because, again, if you were to just kind of notice the resistance and quickly dismiss it, then, of course, you know, there's not going to be a healing there. But instead, responding to it, noticing that that's what's coming up and sensing that resistance, there then becomes that opportunity to say, I'm willing to see this differently. You know, I'm willing to look at whatever it is that's coming up, you know, with you, Holy Spirit. So that's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Deidre.
Yeah, I was just going to quickly comment that the whole discussion about projection and trying to understand it and sort of what came first and who's projecting the collective projection. I just, going within with it, I've just found that projection is already insane anyway, and this has already happened. We're looking back on what has already, you know, we're already home in truth. So something that has been super helpful is just the awareness that the Holy Spirit repurposes everything with the atonement. And so even the sleeping mind part that is doing the projecting, the atonement abolishes that. So it's my only job is to turn everything to the Holy Spirit. That's my only job, and to be vigilant in doing that. I don't understand my own insane projections because they're insane. but I have a guide who does. And I don't know, that thought has always been super, super helpful to me. And Amy Torres recently did an interview on Unity Radio with Bill Free, who is Lisa Natoli's husband. And she was talking about projection and how, you know, a common way to think about projection often leads to more thought patterns of guilt because you're trying to figure out, well, I didn't want this horrible thing to happen to me. But really everything, every event or everything that seems to happen in the dream world is repurposed for the highest good that is. So she used the example of creating situations where she felt that there was inconsideration. So it wasn't that there was some other external force outside of her that was creating this inconsideration. It was that these holograms, these projections of her mind were coming to her to show her inconsideration until she learned to practice it herself. So she learned how to be considerate and loving of herself. So she kept projecting these unloving experiences until she learned true forgiveness, in the sense that she was open-hearted enough to accept the fact that, yes, I deserve consideration as a child of God. Does that make sense to everyone, or am I just...
Yeah, it really follows.
Okay. So
awesome. Awesome, Deidre.
I thought it was a really awesome way of looking at projection, because it turned the way that we usually talk about projection on its head. And instead of looking at the source of the projection or the attack or whatever as something to be used as, you know, how we're doing it wrong or how we're guilty of something, is that everything becomes repurposed, no matter what it looks like, to become an instrument of love. That's what the holy relationship is. So I just wanted to share that. If you want to check out the interview, it's really good. I'm sure it's in the archives on Unity Radio, and the show is called Pure Presence with Bill Free.
Oh. Deidre, is that the one with Carol Howe?
It's the one after that, but the one with Carol was before the one with Amy. So they kind of go together.
Okay, thank you. Is it also on YouTube?
I know that they were doing a webinar with Amy, but I don't know if it's on YouTube, Meg. I'm sorry. You can check it out, though.
All right.
Corinne?
Thank you.
Corinne?
Thank you. Susan was next. All right.
Deidre really helped me answer my question. I'm just noticing, I went back to the beach situation with the people with the loud radio. When you pick up your blanket and go somewhere else, I'm aware of layers of feelings. Like, my first thing is a judgment. And then I try to neutralize it by correcting, practicing, inviting the Holy Spirit. But it's a total mess in there when I'm doing that. And I get up my blanket and move my blanket. It's a great example. I haven't been to the beach in ages, but still. take the blanket, go somewhere else and neutralize. But one thing the Course has shown me over and over again is how much judging I do, how trigger happy my judging component is in my personality, how quickly I size something up or someone up, write them off. I mean, it's like a kind of violence, and it's scaring the daylights out of me. But I'm loving to discover all this and have a tool to do something good with it and fix it. But I love the word repurposing. I love the word correction. They all seem gentle. They don't seem like a counter judgment where I get guilty and do self attack. Anyway, so all of this is just, the Course has been like a gentle act, a gentle course in, well, it's taking away the violence of it. It's a harsh learning made gentle somehow. Mm. Yikes. Anyway.
Thank you, Susan. That was perfect. That was perfect. I actually feel moved to finish this section, but did anybody have some really quick thoughts to share?
I just wanted to say that what Deidre was saying before is exactly why no one is guilty of anything.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that's ever made, I mean, that just makes so much sense what she was saying. Okay, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Right. Perfect. Thank you.
Just maybe to finish the beach subject again, if I may, Corinne.
Go for it. Sure.
About what you said just now, Susan. Because just 2 weeks ago, I got back from Thailand. First time I was there, and this is a tropical country, and I was amazed by how different it is, and after some time I realized that it's full of sun. You know, the sun is just, you know, I'm into astrology, so the sun is just all over the place, you know, and totally different place. So I used to do what you, Susan and Paula do. When I walk to a beach, I go as far from other people as possible, you know, and sit there alone, just stay away from you people, you know. And when I got to Thailand, I did the same thing, you know. I went as far as possible from the crowded places. But when I got there, it was terrible. It was terrible. The beach was, you know, on the bottom of the sea there, you know, something unpleasant, you know, some rocks on the bottom, you know, and it's just not fun. So I had to, oh my God, I have to go to those terrible people. And I had to go back in the crowd, you know, and there it was amazing. It was amazing. It's wonderful sea, wonderful place, wonderful beach, you know. And the same thing with restaurants. The ugly-looking restaurant, you know, the worst place, even in Russia, and even more so, I guess, in the U.S. The sanitary services, they would come there and you know, just fire the place, put this place on fire in minutes, you know, in hours, okay. But in Thailand, the uglier place is looking, usually the better the place is, you know, and the more crowded the place is, you know. So again, in Russia, if I go to a restaurant, I choose the fewer people where there, if there are fewer people, I go there, okay. But again, in Thailand, if there is a crowd there, then it's a good place, you know. So you have to go to crowded places, so where sun is, where spicy food is, where loud, you know. After a few days, I started speaking very loud, you know. usually I'm quiet, but you know, and my girlfriend says, hey, why are you talking so loud? Hey, take it easy, you know. But I just couldn't, you know, this influence of sun, of being in a crowd, being, you know, it's just totally different energies, okay. And yeah, so when we forgive, it's better. It's better to practice genuine forgiveness enough so that when you come to such place, when you get on the beach and you get in a crowd, there will be no smokers, no radio listeners, or there will be, you know, smokers that the smoke will be very pleasant, you know, like smelling sticks, right?
So or I don't have to go to Thailand?
Yes.
To experience that?
Yes, if there will be a radio, there will be your favorite song there, okay? And you will be all dancing. Thank you.
Thank you, good. Igor. Thank you, Igor.
But I want to go to Thailand.
Yeah, right? It sounds great. Let's finish out this section. We just have two paragraphs. Such is my will for both of you, and for each of you, for one another, and for himself. Here, there is only holiness and joining without limit. For what is heaven but union, direct and perfect, and without the veil of fear upon it? Mm. Here we are one, looking with perfect gentleness upon each other and on ourselves. Here, all thoughts of any separation between us becomes impossible. You who were prisoners in separation are now made free in paradise. And here would I unite with you, my friends, my brothers, and myself. Your gift unto each other has given me the certainty our union will be soon. Share then this faith with me, and know that it is justified. There is no fear in perfect love, because it knows no sin, and it must look on others as on itself. Looking with charity within, what can it fear without? The innocent see safety, and the pure of heart see God within his Son, and look unto the Son to lead them to the Father. And where else would they go but where they will to be? each of you now will lead the other to the Father, as surely as God created his Son holy and kept him so. In your brother is the light of God's eternal promise of your immortality. See him as sinless, and there can be no fear in you.
Mm.
So just a real quick reflection. Again, we don't see this ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit through us. And it's not that we're going to stop having judgmental thoughts. It's that we have none that we would keep. So it comes down to our willingness. It comes down to our willingness to see the truth. And weren't these two passages just absolutely so beautiful? We're going home together. And when I read that last sentence, the first paragraph that we just read, your gift unto each other has given me the certainty our union will be soon. I immediately thought of all of you. I immediately thought of all of us, those of us and everyone in the world who's dedicated to remembering this, that, as Deidre said before, this is done already, and we are already home, and we simply need to accept that. And our joining is making Jesus smile, that he is certain that our union will be soon, even though it already is. Again, we just have to accept that. So this just warmed my heart. Any final thoughts, comments, questions before we go?
Hey, I was wondering if I could just ask for the group's intention and support and sharing with something I'm doing in 2 weeks. Is that okay, Corinne? It'll just take me literally 1 minute.
Go for it, yeah.
Okay, so the incredibly short version is about a year and a half ago, I was just in a really dark place, and I was not well physically. There you go. There's the story. I wasn't well physically, and I was so scared to do anything. I come from a really athletic background, and, like, I mean, I look like a rail. Lynn and I saw a picture of myself from a year and a half ago, and I literally look like I was not well. Anyway, the course and this just – and, you know, I haven't known this group all that long, but, man, it feels like I've just been friends for so long. And this was like 2 months ago. I had just finished my course lesson, and I swam. I swam. That's one of my main sports. And I had been swimming a lot. I've gotten so strong over the last year and a half. And I think it's all forgiveness, it's all this course. It's just Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. And it was amazing, and I had just finished my course lesson, and I had this vision of me swimming in this tropical place, and I love racing. I used to love to race and do these endurance events. And anyway, that day, this lady asked me, they had a team that was swimming around Key West, Florida, and she said, hey, would you swim around Key West? And I was like, wait, she's one of the head coaches at this, like, Olympic-style aquatic center. I looked and I was like, I think you have me mixed up with somebody else. She says, no, 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 I've watched you swim. I think you'd really be great. Will you swim around Key West with us? And I was like, are you serious? That's a crazy swim. And I said, yes. I was like, yes, I'll totally do it. This is such a symbol of, like, yes, my yes to the Holy Spirit and per Jesus thing, repurposing a lot of things, even though it doesn't mean anything and it's really quite nothing in the big picture. So anyway, I said yes. So this swim is in 2 weeks, and I don't think I'll be on the call next week, because I'll be on a little retreat. But I was just asking if everybody could just join with me on June 24th, which is right now, because it's all happening right now, that you just guys be with me. It's a long swim. It's a 13-mile loop. So I don't know if anybody swims, but that's a long time in the water. Unfortunately, I'm not doing the whole thing, but I'm doing a lot of it. And I would just ask that you just be with me, because, you know, all these – I've felt the temptation of all these witnesses to fear showing up. And I really just wanted to ask everybody here to be a witness to love and to joy. And I'm just imagining every stroke being like angel's wings, and every stroke just, you know, sending out forgiveness through the water and to every person, place, and thing, and just swimming in the ocean of atonement. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. It's June 24th, Eastern Standard Time. It depends on the currents. We either start at 7 or 9 in the morning. So thank you. I would so appreciate your support because, you know, the truth is I'm totally scared shitless and I'm excited.
So this is Matt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Matt, you got it. It's on my calendar. This is
yeah,
you
thanks.
Got it, Matt.
I just put you on my calendar, Matt.
Me too. Me too. You got it, Matt. We'll be with you.
Thank you.
I love you all. Thank you so much for showing up. I'll see you next week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye,
I hope
everybody.
There will be some beach there, Matt.
Yeah.
Bye, Matt. You're on my calendar too.
Thank you all.
You're
bye.
Doing fantastic, Matt.
Everyone.
Yeah. Bye, family.
Bye.
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 Hi, Carla. Bye, Carla.
Bye. I'll be with you too, Matt.
Yay. Good night, everyone.